The website home of Rob Has a Podcast, robhasawebsite.com, is powered by inclusivehost.com. For all of your hosting solutions and for domain registration, use our link for 25% off. That's inclusivehost.com/RHAP, inclusivehost.com/RHAP, or click on the Inclusive Host banner in the sidebar of robhasawebsite.com. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast, and now here's the guy who's like a really, really uncool version of Lara Croft. I am Rob Cisternino. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to our Amazing Race finale night. Jess, can you believe it?
Sadly, Rob, I can.
Here she is, Jessica Lease. Once again, we've made it to our final leg of a season together, and wow. Wow, we did not see this one coming. I can't think of a time that we've been more wrong.
It's true. I mean, that might be the one saving grace this week, is that, you know, being proven wrong is at least interesting.
And really, we talked about all season long. We said this was the story of it was either Tyler and Corey or the Frisbee Bros or Rooster Teeth. That was going to be your final three. And then we saw the Frisbee Bros fall off, and then we saw Rooster Teeth fall off. And we sat here last week like two idiots, like two putzes, and said, okay, it's Tyler and Corey's race to lose. Anything other than Tyler and Corey, you actually entertained the idea Tyler and Corey might come in third. And we said, okay, in that bizarro world, okay, Sherry and Cole will win the Amazing Race. We had no percent chance, 0.00, that it was going to be the dancers. We said this invisible edit, that we haven't seen them. We haven't seen their story. I didn't believe it till they crossed the finish line.
Yeah, that was kind of shocking. And it was shocking just because the entire time we're watching it, I'm thinking, okay, someone's got to come up and make this interesting. I'm waiting for the point where someone at least makes it competitive. Like, let's switch the order up. Let's do something. And they just kept, like, they didn't see another team the entire time they were out there.
Yeah. And kudos to Dana and Matt, who were the winners of the season. They did it. But it, just in terms of us, we are so, and maybe this is like a little slap on the wrist. Maybe we got too comfortable here. And oh, we're in the horror movie. We know how it's going to happen. This person can't die because that's the virgin. They're not going to die. And we thought we knew it all. Is this on us? Is this our bad for thinking like all season long? Okay, predictable finish. Tyler and Corey. There, it's their story. They're the narrators. We know what's going to happen. They're going to win. Yawn, yawn, yawn. And okay, oh, the dancers, they're not getting enough screen time. They obviously are not going to win. Maybe Sherry and Cole. Is that our bad, or is it the bad of the production? That did the production not do enough to build up the dancers?
Well, Rob, we are very rarely bad at this. So I'm going to blame production.
So you blame production. Now, do you feel like, was this a wonky season in that you had people who were already had notoriety, and I don't think it's out of bounds to say, especially of these three remaining teams, that Tyler and Corey had the most notoriety. Do you feel like that the show just did service to people that wanted to see Tyler and Corey on the show, and then almost edited them as the winners of the show? And if that was the case, then aren't a lot of people really upset tonight?
Well, I don't think it's necessarily like, I wouldn't go that far down the tinfoil highway here.
Hey, I did.
I honestly think Tyler and Corey were dynamic personalities who had a lot to say.
Incredibly.
Probably a lot more so than Dana and Matt, who, you know, when they were arguing, they were kind of interesting. But when they were not arguing, they were just, you know, B-plus racers.
Mm.
And so we didn't really get a story there. Like, there was no there. Meanwhile, you had Tyler and Corey, who were just erratic in their performance. They were funny as narrators. They had a great dynamic. I can see why we saw more of them. And honestly, like, they had the biggest following. I could see where they'd want to make sure these guys were placed front and center, but I don't think that was the strategy from the get-go, because who knows what happens on the race? Like, what happens if Tyler and Corey go out first? They're the most popular team. That would suck, right?
Right, but you have them for so long. Is it like, okay, let's just give everything, Tyler and Corey, let's really, you know, put them out front and center. And then it leads to a scenario where I feel like they were treated in the edit like they were going to win the season. And now I feel like I was duped.
Yeah, on the other hand,
I got duped. They made a fool out of me.
Had they tried to force the narrative of Dana and Matt, we would have seen that coming a mile off.
Yeah.
Like, maybe they did that just to throw us off, because they know how good we are with analyzing the edit.
Jess, a reality show is not going to try to force feed an edit on a person who has nothing to say and then try to, like, really just throw all these confessionals and stuff like that in there to try to build them up into a winner. That doesn't happen.
You're right. I don't know what I was thinking. That's preposterous.
So, Jess, let's set this up, because we want to hear from you guys. We're live. We've got a good live crowd going on tonight. Hashtag RHAP. Also on our YouTube channel at robisawebsite.com/YouTube. Again, congratulations to Dana and Matt. Also, great job by Tyler and Corey. Great job all through the season on the race. Also, Sherry and Cole had, and then Sherry and Cole talking about, like, oh, we need the money. I said, oh, maybe Sherry and Cole are going to win this thing. Really, that just the Dana and Matt thing, I did not see them winning. 100% edit based, I did not see them winning until they crossed the finish line.
Yeah, nor did I. That was a big shocker.
Yeah, it's wild. It's wild. All right, so we do have a lot to talk about. And Tyler and Corey, the dreaded Fallen Angel edit.
That's rough. It's the worst, arguably.
Yeah.
Like, the clear favorites to win get knocked out very early, and they never really have a chance to come back.
We did not see this coming. I have to be honest, though. We've been caught flat-footed here tonight. Even our own great Scott St. Pierre made up the graphic for tonight, and these people are in the order of finish here on The Amazing Race. 1, 2, 3. People are going to accuse me of knowing the spoilers.
Were you spoiled, Rob?
No, I guarantee you, I'm going to get accused of this now. This was, we were completely,
we always get accused.
But it was a total blindside.
We have been bamboozled.
We got bamboozled.
Total blindside.
All right. So just talk to me about Dana and Matt. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. A weird bookend here. They came in first in the first leg and then the last leg.
Yeah, that's kind of fun.
And none of the legs in the middle.
I think at least they came in first for one of those legs, because, you know, if they hadn't, people would be up in arms about, oh, they didn't win any other legs. How can we appreciate them as winners? And has this ever happened before? And we'd have to be like, yes, you know, we went over this last season. This happens a lot.
Yeah.
But, you know, I do like the symmetry. It's kind of a blood versus water two kind of symmetry.
Yeah.
And Juan del Sur symmetry.
Yeah. Also, in terms of this, Dana and Matt winning the race, do you feel like was this just a incredibly that this leg really just worked for them? I thought this was a very physical final leg of The Amazing Race.
Yeah, it definitely was extremely physical, and there weren't a lot of opportunities, I don't think, to switch up the order, because it's hard to tell, but it looked like both of those height-based challenges were things that only one team could do at a time, which is often the case when it comes to that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So whoever got there first is getting out of there first, barring some, like, catastrophe.
Yeah. Yeah, and I really do feel like that... I feel like that if The Amazing Race could have it their way, you would think that they would have liked to have seen a Tyler and Corey win, no?
I think it's one of those cases where you have to say this show can't be rigged, because if they were going to rig it, they would not rig it for Dana and Matt. They would rig it for, you know, the favorite sons.
Right. You would think that you would say, so I feel like that this is a pretty compelling argument the next time we hear that the show is that they can fix the outcome of these shows.
Yeah. If they could fix it, or, well, they could always fix it, but if they were going to fix it, it would have been...
They picked a weird spot not to fix it.
They picked a very weird spot not to fix
it. Yeah. All right. Especially, I felt like that this was going to be really playing into the hands of Tyler and Corey coming into Los Angeles. You figured that they're both going to be pretty familiar with the territory here, even though maybe Santa Barbara is not something. It seemed like that Dana and Matt did, like, oh, Santa Barbara, we love Santa Barbara.
Yeah, well, and again, if they were going to rig it, wouldn't the time to have a final leg in Santa Barbara have been last season?
Yes. Yeah. Well, that's right. Right. Yeah. And we have, another time where, you know, the dominant team coming into the finale ends up not winning in this final leg. Is this a new trope on The Amazing Race, Jess?
It might well be, because we did have, for many, many seasons in a row, it felt like we had the dominant team winning.
Mm-hmm.
Like we had, I would say from like roughly season 14 up till the Beekmans, I would guess. So 14 through 20, almost every season, it was the team that everybody thought was going to win. So since then, I think we've gotten a lot more surprises.
Yeah. Do you feel like, is this a satisfying ending to the season for you?
You know, I do have to admit, I can't remember. Like, if you asked me to rank all of the finales, I would look at every finale of all 28 seasons and be like, yeah, that one's the worst. That one's the worst. That one's the worst. Very rarely do I come away from an Amazing Race finale feeling like, I'm so excited about that outcome. How amazing was that? I was riveted to the screen. Like, it's no wonder I spent so many of those finales drunk in a room full of screaming people. Like, I didn't miss much.
Yeah. So so you're saying that we're being results oriented, where it's like the team that, you know, again, I don't have anything against Dana and Matt. For the record, they were on my fantasy team, and I'm pretty sure they clinched it for me tonight, right?
Oh, they did. You won by a lot.
So, you know, bully to Dana and Matt, congratulations on the win. But I just feel like that it's almost an outcome that was like, I'm having a hard time wrapping my head around, because I just feel like the story was there. And so because I'm feeling this way, is this an argument for the edits should be obvious? I should be comfortable with like, okay, I know this person is going to win. And then when this person wins, then I feel smart.
You know, honestly, I think you're looking at it all wrong. I don't think this is a results-oriented program. I mean, I think the $1 million is there to, like, give teams a reason to keep moving, but it's always been about the journey and not the destination.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we've gotten some great legs this season. We got to know some great teams. We had some really memorable moments. It was a lot of fun to watch in the middle there. And I think that's true almost every season. There's some great moments, you know, season 24 excepted perhaps, but you know, the finale is never the best part.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's talk about the design of this leg. Okay. So we have the first task is going to be, jumping off of the building and trying to, grab the clue. See, again, really, of the people left in the race, it did seem to me as though Matt was going to be the only person able to do that on that first time out.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think my comment on Twitter was, if this race comes down to who's got the highest vertical leap, that's going to be pretty disappointing.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're lucky that they didn't decide for Dana to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess they were very lucky in that regard. Although that would have been interesting, because, you know, the secret sadist in me kind of wanted to see Dana try to do that a few times. Although, on the other hand, she's a dancer. She's probably got a pretty good vertical leap, too. I think either one of them would have done fine at this.
But Matt hit that, and then they never looked back. They never lost the lead after that moment.
Yeah, they never did. And, I mean, they were really firing on all cylinders.
Yeah, they really did. Certainly had probably their best leg of the entire race here in the finale. They end up really, it didn't seem like, you saw Sherry and Cole at the you know, rock climbing task. They were getting there when they were leaving, and it seemed like that they never really even heard the footsteps of another team.
Yeah, they really didn't. Like, you could occasionally, it would be like, oh, we see them in the distance. Like, there they are. Hi, Dana and Matt. We're coming to get you. We're really not, but okay.
Yeah. Jess, let me ask you something that I thought was weird going into this leg. The teams all flew first class from China to LA. Is there a precedent for that?
There's not necessarily precedent for it, although it's not the first time that we've seen it happen. Like, worldwide, there have been some international editions of the Amazing Race. Last summer, Amazing Race Canada gave it out as a leg prize. Like, you win the leg, you also get a first class upgrade.
Yeah.
And they've done it, I think Amazing Race Canada, because they had Air Canada as a sponsor, also upgraded the teams going into the final leg.
Is this like the new Final Four breakfast on Survivor, where the teams get a first class seat to go to the final leg?
Well, I think you might as well, like, if they're not going to pretend that booking a flight has anything to do with it anymore, they might as well just stick them on a first class flight together and, you know, give them a chance to rest up and bring their A game to the final leg.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, Jess, we always talk about final task. What's the final task going to be? What's it going to be? So it turns out that there were hashtags in the clue all season long, and then you needed to sort of, in a little bit of a Big Brother type challenge of, okay, match up a clue and then spell out the name of differences. Did not seem like any of the teams were really going to struggle with this. First off, let's talk about the hashtag. Again, it's the social media season. Were you aware that there were hashtags in the clues going through all of the different route markers this season?
I had seen that. They had shown close-ups of one or two of the clues, and there had been a hashtag where no hashtag was supposed to be. And I think at one point, one of the teams like read it out loud as the hashtag. And so I had observed it, but I learned a long time ago not to like drive myself crazy trying to figure out what the memory task is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
So it didn't register with me, but it makes perfect sense. And you can kind of see the thought process that went around. Like, you can see Bertram sitting in the boardroom with his production staff, like, puzzling this out. Like, what can we do to make it a little bit more social media festive?
We'll put a hashtag in every clue and have to remember the hashtags at the end of the race. But if it didn't play for us at home, then what's the point of doing it?
I think they always like to have something like this, and they, whether or not they give it to the teams, like, as something that they should keep in the back of their mind, it doesn't always work out that way. Like, you know, season 25 had that number thing you had to work out by finding all the cities. And
mm-hmm.
And then season, I think 23 had the currencies for each country.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's transparent and sometimes it's not. Sometimes we can see it, sometimes we can't. Like, for instance, the hello and goodbye in season 21 was very, very obvious to everybody that was what we needed to keep note. And if we did that every season, we would feel clobbered over the head by it.
Yeah. Yeah, it just was not the kind of thing that anybody had trouble with.
Well, you it was know, like, okay, media like, moguls.
When Corey was doing the task, Sherry was like, oh, you were studying the hashtags, right? Like, yeah, well, obviously. Of course I was studying the hashtags. Well, what am I, Tim and Cass from Big Brother Canada?
I'm going to pretend I understand your reference, Rob.
Yeah. It's like, oh, yeah, obviously, of course we're studying.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. So it just, to me, when it's like, you know, that they, it's just everybody was ready for this.
Yeah, they were. Well, I think we also have to kind of give them credit, because almost all of these teams were not recruited off the street. Like, they were not discovered rollerblading on the boardwalk in Venice. Like, they have all seen the show. Whether or not they applied, they didn't come in blind. Almost all of them have demonstrated
not
they
a blind
are
date. Fans
of the show. Right, not blind date.
Mm-hmm.
And incidentally, you know, someone in the boardroom was like, what about selfies? And someone smacked him down like, we already did that and it didn't work. Shut up.
Yeah. Okay. Let's talk about Sherry and Cole. That... their story seemed to be, a lot of this race was that they were afraid of heights. We got a lot of that, and it really never paid off. It was really not ever Chekhov's fear.
No, but you know, Chekhov's fear is one of my least favorite things. What I like to see is a team that has a crippling fear of something, but they go ahead and they dive into it anyway, and they get through it, and they feel better about it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's my favorite thing.
Yeah. Well, they did get through it, and, you know, a pretty strong leg overall for Sherry and Cole. They certainly hit a bump in the road, much like Corey, much like Tyler did with jumping for the clue. And they did struggle with finding the boat. But overall, I thought they did pretty good here in the final leg as well.
Yeah, I thought they did great. And, you know, in a season where, you know, they weren't up against such physical competitors, but, you know, if ifs and buts are candy and nuts, etc.
Mm-hmm.
I think if it weren't for that first task, they would have been right there in it.
Yeah. Dana and Matt ran into some trouble with the losing a cab. And again, the second season in a row where a team had some bad luck with a cab on that final leg. What was the problem there for Dana and Matt? They were in an area with, you know, with very few cabs. They let their cab driver go.
Yeah, I think that was the issue. And, you know, at that point, I think it was harder for them to realize that they were going to still need a cab at that point, because the clue involved getting into another form of transportation, and they didn't know they'd have to take the boat right back to where they got it from.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard to tell.
Yeah, speaking of cab drivers, also Tyler and Corey got the worst cab driver of the finale, the woman. And I couldn't really tell if she was on a personal call or if she was trying to call for directions that Tyler and Corey were looking for.
Yeah, I couldn't tell either. And I don't think they could tell.
Either way, that is against the law in California to be driving without a hands-free device.
Well, it's a good thing they didn't get pulled over, because that would have been even worse for them.
That would have been worse. That would have been even worse for them in terms of losing even more time. But Tyler and Corey, you know, kept a positive attitude. You know, Tyler was starting to get down, but of course, let's have fun. And that's what Jess told me right before we came on the podcast tonight. Let's have fun.
Yep. That's what I tell you every week, Rob.
Let's just have fun.
Keep fit and have fun.
Yeah. Jess, what else from tonight's finale?
What else indeed? I don't know that I really buy that Dana and Matt bled a lot of time in any of the circumstances under which they were shown to be bleeding time.
Mm.
Like, they certainly, anytime they didn't see something immediately, we got an extended look at, what if we don't find it? We're bleeding time. Oh my God, this is $1 million.
Yeah.
Where's the finale? Like, where's the final mat? Where's the clue? Where's the cab? And that got a little bit tiresome, especially when you knew, like, there wasn't even a team in their dust at this point.
Yeah. How far away do you think that Dana and Matt were from the second team for Sherry and Cole arriving? Do you think they had them by an hour?
They didn't have them by an hour, but I would say it was more than 15 to 20 minutes.
Yeah. I should also add, I forgot to mention at the top of the show that we will have our exit interviews with the Amazing Race Final 3 coming up on Monday on RHAP. So look for that coming out. I have them scheduled to talk to them on Monday afternoon. So looking forward to talking with each of the final three and congratulating them on their stellar performance this season, Jess.
Yeah, everybody did great. And I'm really excited to hear from them and to get their side of the story.
Yeah. Okay. Jess, you want to jump into some of these questions from the people watching us live?
Yes, please.
Okay, here we go. Let's start this off. Lots of questions coming in, of course. Hashtag RHAP to get your questions into the show. Irina wants to know, there were four tasks in this leg, two of which seem to be only to have one team at a time do them. How much of that influenced the results? There were no place changes since the first task. Jess, you touched on this. Is this one of these cases of bad leg design?
It feels a little bit bad, and I get that you want a spectacle and you want somebody to confront a fear, but these kinds of tasks are kind of difficult. Like, the first person in is always the first person out, and I think there needed to be more to make up for that, which, you know, last season I thought they did a great job, because every time they landed at something, they had to do another memory task, and I thought that was really fun. I would have liked to see, I thought that was a step in the right direction, and I'm kind of disappointed to see that we've gone back to the, like, one at a time adrenaline task, followed by like a little bit of navigation, followed by another adrenaline task.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it did seem as though it was very physical, and then you felt like maybe it was balanced out by the mental task, but it seemed like that, you know, if I just feel like if everybody knows what the mental task is gonna be, it ceases to be a mental task. It's sort of just like, okay, this is just like practice this, and then just do this thing that you've practiced for the entire race.
Yeah, which is exactly why they need to throw them a curveball. And they also, it's why they don't make that thing obvious every season.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
but I would have liked to see a curveball in there. I would have liked to see something that they weren't expecting. There was one season, I want to say it was maybe season 12, where there was a really convoluted logic puzzle at the end, and it took teams hours to get it done. I want to see more things like that.
Yeah. George Wise wants to know, what, if anything, could have been done to make the final memory task more challenging, Jess?
Well, I think a good start would have been, like, I think that they needed to have another aspect of it. Like, they needed to have a bunch of letters in there that you couldn't use.
Ooh. Like, I like that.
Throw some extra letters in there. Throw some extra hashtags in there. They threw extra stuff in at one of the memory tasks last season.
Yeah. No, that was good.
Like, it was good.
Yeah, so, I like that idea. Yeah.
Yeah, throw another aspect. Like, have a bunch of pictures in there. And, like, you have a hashtag and a name and a picture. Or something. Or an animal. Everybody loves the animals.
Just throw animals
on that animal memory task.
Throw animals in the pen with the people to distract them while they're doing the task. Is that what you want? Yeah.
Just throw some chickens in there. We love chickens this season.
Chickens on CBS always work. Well, it's more true. More chickens. Okay. Then let's take another question. This is from Josh Banner, who wants to know, would Sherry and Cole have won if not for all of the height legs? I don't think it slowed them down. Do you?
I don't think it did.
Yeah. No, I don't think so. They were like, it was a lot of like talking about, we're scared. But I feel like that for the most part, I think they overcame their fears.
Yeah, I think they did. I think it was really just down to who got to the task first and the fact that they nailed that first task on the first try.
Yeah. I have to say, Sherry and Cole, I really came around on them too. That I really enjoyed them by the end of the season.
Yeah, if you want to talk about who had the best story arc this season, I think I got to give it to Sherry and Cole. They were pretty terrible racers to start. And you thought every week this was going to be the week they're going home. But they started to figure it out. They started to get better. And towards the end, you know, if anybody was said to give Dana and Matt any competition, it was them.
Just this is a question from Doof Inc., who wants to know, are there any other winners who did not use any benefits, i.e. an express pass, U-turning someone, yielding, non-elimination, and still won? Do you have that fact at your fingertips?
Well, there were many years where they didn't have any of that stuff.
Ah.
And those were also, coincidentally, the years where there was a fast forward on every leg, so everybody used a fast forward.
Mm.
And I feel like that's as good as nobody using it.
If everybody is using the fast forward, then nobody's using the fast forward.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. So, you know, I think it happens more often than not.
Zach Vossler wants to know, what is it about the final leg designs? For as many great legs as production puts together everywhere in the world, why can't they get it quite right at home?
That's a good question. I think what they want to see out of the finale is not necessarily, I don't think they care about the competition itself. They just want to make for the most bombastic television
spectacle.
Episode
they can. Hashtag yeah. David Copperfield.
Exactly. And you know, Connor almost died in that thing.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, they don't really care who wins in the end. Like $1 million is, you know, chump change to them. It's really about what's the most exciting thing we can make them do. And that's usually something adrenaline focused and not skill based.
Yeah.
And that's just the sad fact of, it is a television show first and a game second.
Mark Compton says, Amazing Race really needs to have a 2-hour finale rather than jam pack the ending. That really was a letdown like BB Canada 4. Just they used to always do it where it was a 2-hour finale, right? Where it would be like almost like two legs back to back, right?
Yeah. Yeah. They've done that. The early seasons, it would be like you knew that one of those legs was non-elimination and all three of you would still be going to the final.
Yeah.
And they realized that's pretty predictable and people came to count on that. And then they had a couple of 2-hour finales where they started with the final four and cut somebody at the final three. So I don't know. The 2-hour finale can get kind of tedious, but I can see where I would like to see a 2-hour finale that just like threw everything at them and really tested them. I think that would be more exciting television.
Megan Flannery says, I have so much faith in the RHAP winners edit theories. I still don't believe who won.
I feel the same way.
Jess, now here's my interesting question for you going into another CBS finale coming up on Wednesday. If you guys will allow me to indulge myself for a quick moment. Do you think, is it possible that there is something endemic at CBS right now where that they are playing with our expectations and potentially what happened here tonight on The Amazing Race and this season on The Amazing Race could be setting us up for a similar misreading of the edit tea leaves going into Wednesday night's Survivor finale?
You know, it's interesting because I feel like we talk so much about the winner's edit. We kind of come around to being like, this non-edit has to be a winner's edit because all of the other edits make too much sense. And that way lies madness. You know, I'm not...
Are we already there?
Of course, we've been there for a long time, Rob. We checked in and dropped off our bags there.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's been an interesting... I loved listening to all of your talk about edits all season. And I like to bring a little bit of that into The Amazing Race, even though it's not always as straightforward.
So do you feel like that we should maybe be more expect a surprise?
I think you can expect a surprise, and I think you can almost come around to try to figure out what that surprise is.
Okay.
And it will make you crazy.
All right.
That's what I think.
All right.
And I'm sure your good buddy Steven would back me up on that.
Are we at the point that we're trying to figure out the cup where the poison is?
Yes. It is exactly where we're at. And you know, what you do not smell is a winner's edit.
Okay. All right. Let's keep going with some more questions. This is from Audrey, who says, are Tyler and Corey the biggest locks ever for Amazing Race All-Stars? I mean, we said all season long, if Tyler and Corey want to do an Amazing Race All-Stars, it is there for them. They were outstanding this season on the Amazing Race. We knew they were going to be entertaining. We didn't know that we were going to be that good at the race.
Yeah, I didn't see it coming. I knew I was going to like them. I knew they were going to be good television. But yeah, they've proven that they deserve another shot.
Yeah. And best of all, I feel like that they proved that they were really strategic gamers as well. I think that we probably didn't even get to see all of the, you know, gaming they were doing on The Amazing Race. You know, it definitely seems like from some of the things like that, Bernie and Ashley were saying that, you know, Tyler and Corey were playing this game, really hard. And I don't mean that as a negative in any way, that they really came to play this season. And, you know, it was a shame they did not come out on top, but you know, their lives are fine.
Yeah, I think they'd do it again in a heartbeat. They have everything going for them. They have flexible schedules. They have a huge fan base, and they had a lot of fun. I don't think there's a whole lot they're taking away from this experience that's negative. I could see them going straight back out there the second they're asked.
Wow, go right back.
Yeah, I hope we're not getting another All-Star season for several more seasons to come. But when it does happen, I know that Tyler and Corey are going to be on that cast.
Okay. Luke Smith says, can you guys think of an easier memory task in Amazing Race history?
There have been some pretty awful ones.
Yeah, well, does anything come to mind, Jess?
I'm thinking of, like, there was one... I can't remember which season it was. They were in, I want to say it was San Francisco. It might have been the one with Dan and Jordan and the Cowboys, where they just had a bunch of posters, and it was like everybody that they had raced with, and they had to put them all in order.
Mm. Yeah.
And that was kind of lame.
Yeah. This is from Jeff Satora. He says, where does this season rank as far as unexpected winners? The race hashtag winners. It's like, we were so good at it last season, Jess. We hashtag nailed it last season. We said, okay, look, we're telling you, the reporters, they've got this, they've got this, they've got this. And we were just so wrong this season. We said, oh, final three, Rooster Teeth, Frisbee Bros, Tyler and Corey, and no way Dancers will win. I'm so disappointed in our analysis, Jess.
I think we flew too close to the sun.
We flew too close to the sun. I think our
true enemy here is hubris.
Yeah, I think so. We thought we knew everything.
Yeah, and I think this was just like, you know nothing, Rob and Jess.
We know nothing. We thought we had it all figured out. We thought we had the answer key. And I feel the worst for Stephen Fishback because he has no idea what we just went through. He could be walking into his own red wedding.
He could be.
He's no idea.
I think if next hand he shakes, he better make sure there's no mail underneath that.
No chain mail. Yeah. All right. Let's see. Also, Mike Bloom, our own Mike Bloom says, how did Dana and Matt compare to the other arguing but highly functional winning couples? There has been several amazing race couples that really have fought, but also have gone on to win.
Yeah, I think, well, the original arguing couple that won.
Flo and Zach.
Yeah. And they weren't even a couple, and it was pretty clear why they should never have been one. But you also have Dave and Rachel,
yes,
who were another fantastic arguing couple, who, that was one of those finales. Like, those guys were the favorites going in. They ended up winning easily, but it was still an exciting finale because there were good tasks and also because they screwed up big and still managed to pull it out.
Yeah.
So, you know, more like that, please.
Okay. Jess, any other final thoughts on The Amazing Race 28?
I think overall, if you take the finale out of the equation with its completely out of nowhere ending and its kind of lackluster task, I think we had a good season. Like,
yeah,
going into this, you'll remember, I was more down on this than I was the blind date season.
Yes.
But just like the blind date season, everybody kind of won me over.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this was a great group of people. Fantastic course. We went to some really, really cool places. And overall, I had a good time watching it. It was an entertaining journey, even if the destination was a little meh.
Hashtag still a great night.
Hashtag still a great night.
You know, back in November, you and I got on. I think it was actually the day before Anthony was born. And we talked about this. And we said, what is really? And people were really there. People were besides themselves. What? Social media season. Amazing Race. Jump the shark. It's over. It's over. I'm not watching this. This is garbage. This is so stupid. This is worse than Blind Date. This is the dumbest thing I ever heard. And we said, let's see what happens. Let's see. And it turned out to be, you could have watched this whole season not knowing that these people were social media teams, and you wouldn't have thought anything different. You would have not thought this is a celebrity edition of the show.
Well, I think that is the key here. After the initial, like, we are this team and we had this video and we are this team and we do this on Snapchat. After we got past that, they didn't keep beating us over the head with it, which I think was key. Like, these were all people that were good on camera, and they had interesting relationships. They were funny. They were engaging. And that goes a long way.
Yeah. Jess, what's the hashtag tonight?
CBS loves chickens.
Yeah, okay, fine. Let's go with that. All right. So we will have our exit interviews with the final three coming up this Monday on the podcast. Looking forward to talking with all three of these final teams. Again, Jessica Lise, thank you for your expertise again this season on the podcast. Always a joy to get to talk to you, whether we're talking Amazing Race or not.
Yeah, this is unexpectedly bittersweet, Rob.
Yes, yes.
We're at the end.
Yes. Another, speaking of endings that you might not have seen coming, Jess, do you want to say anything?
Yeah, I wanted to give you guys a little, we got a little bit of a sad note. I'm going to be taking next season off because I have another project in the works. And I was going to just like troll you guys and be like, I'm going to be doing some traveling. I'll be off of social media for a month and let you all think I was going to be on The Amazing Race. But, you know, they don't let pregnant people go on the.
Yeah, it's not a sad note, a happy note, a happy note. And
a very happy note.
Congratulations to you, Jess. Very excited for you to be bringing a new Amazing Race genius into the world.
Yes. And I was gonna like get up and like give you the Brenda Lowe treatment at the Karamoan finale, but nobody wants to see that, I promise you. But since that's all gonna be happening pretty much the same way Dominic happened for you, like right around the time everything starts back up, it just makes more sense to adjust, and I'll come back as soon as I can, I promise.
Yeah. Anyway, Jess, I really am. I'm so happy for you. You're going to be a fantastic mom. Think about all the Amazing Race seasons that you'll get to show. get to show baby Lise whenever he or she comes into the world. You know, it's going to be a really, really fun time for you. And I'm sure that we will be talking with you on social media. And congratulations, Jess. So I really am so happy for you.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited. It's going to be a wild ride, and I won't be a total stranger. Like, I'll be around, so, you know, I'll check in.
Yeah, and also that you will still be with us for Amazing Race Canada coverage this summer?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. We got a lot of things in the hopper, actually. We got Amazing Race Canada. Mike Bloom and I are going to wrap up Orphan Black when the season is over at Post Show Recaps. Taylor Cotter and I are still on deck to do Orange is the New Black. And Josh Wigler says I don't get to take maternity leave for Walking Dead book club. So
wow.
I'll be around quite a bit in the months to come. And Dan Heaton and I are most definitely still on board to do Amazing Race Canada this summer.
Okay. So if you want to follow Jess on Twitter and maybe, send her all of your well wishes, she is at Haymaker Hattie. That's Haymaker HATTIE. I'm at Rob Cesternino again, and thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes on all of these shows, going through Twitter, finding all your questions for these live shows. So thank you as well to Scott. And then we'll be back on Monday for our Amazing Race Exit Interview podcast. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast if you want to get that. RobIsAWebsite.com/iTunes, and we appreciate your feedback and star ratings. If you think we did a good job over the course of the season, have a great weekend. We'll be back on Monday. And congratulations again to Matt and Dana, winners of Amazing Race 28. Take care, everybody.